us.
Yes.
So, yeah, amen. Right? Yeah, that's right. So, Psalm 110, it's all about the Lord, that is the Father in heaven, gives dominion to the king, and it is the king, that is King Jesus. And the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. That means nothing is going to overcome him. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, place of worship, place of freedom, place where they speak in tongues, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. So rule in the midst of your enemies. Now, I would really like to take that one out.
Amen.
That's important. That's right. But you know, when I first came to the Lord, if I had an eraser, that would be gone. And there are some people that like rewrite the Bible just because they don't like some scriptures, and they just read over it, or literally just cross it out and say, no, that's not for me. That isn't God. That is God. Rule in the midst of your enemies.
Amen.
Okay, that means that you are going to have enemies. Why do I have so many enemies? There it is.
Yep. Come on. That's right.
Why am I always the one that has to do this? You can tell I've been there, right? So that's number one. And you can find in Matthew chapter 13 a New Testament reference to that. It says, let's see if I can find it here. Is the kingdom of God is like a man sowing in a field. Remember that parable? The man sows in a field, and then later on the enemy comes and he sows bad things. Yeah. What kind of a world is this? What kind of a kingdom is this? Well, I'm telling you, this whole psalm is about the kingdom of God. It's about Jesus' dominion, his kingship. And he didn't create a world where there's no weeds. So not only the enemies, but just people that are not going to get it. There should be a sadness in your heart when you hear that, actually. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he birthed that into your heart, too. It's not just in God's heart. He birthed that into your heart. So you could be evangelical all the time. Not just sometimes. So every time I tune into some TV stations, which I don't anymore, but I said, boy, that person's a weed. Take him out. Come on, you don't feel like that sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'm at work and this person's like really acting out. And it's like, every morning, are you kidding me? Or you go to class and the same teacher's there. The one that didn't give you such a good mark last time. It wasn't fear, was it? You didn't realize all the work you put into that paper. Well, hallelujah. Jesus is still Lord.
Yep.
Jesus is still Lord over all of the stuff that's in the field.
That's right. Come on.
And it doesn't really matter what you feel about it.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
I didn't write these words.
Yeah.
This is Psalm 110. It's right there. It's a New Testament scripture, Matthew chapter 13. You can turn going back and forth between those two verses or passages. Number two, your people will volunteer freely in the day of the Lord. That's why. Because the word's no longer something they read. God puts it in their heart. So you're free to be who you are in Christ.
Amen.
Free to speak in tongues. Free to worship.
Yes.
You don't have to wait for the priest to show up and speak some words in Latin. You don't have to wait for a certain prayer to be said. You don't have to wait for a certain repentance service to happen. You're free and wholly array from the womb of the dawn. That means from the very beginning, when everything is so, when you see a sunrise, it's really quite awesome. The earth is dark, and it's like, is there hope? And suddenly there's like twilight happening in the morning, and it's like, there it is. I can see the difference in the sky. And it gets brighter and brighter. And then suddenly the sun arrives on the scene, and it changes everything. Especially this time of year. It's like the trees say, hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, my yard, I have oak trees and I have hemlock trees. The hemlock trees love this time of year because the oaks haven't quite caught up to it, right?
Yeah, right.
And there's like, bring the sun in, baby. And you can see, what you're seeing is not just green, but there's like a vibrancy to it. In fact, that's exactly what's happening. The chlorophyll molecules are excited when that sunlight hits them. And what you're seeing, and you don't even interpret it with your mind correctly, but you're seeing it dance before you molecularly, before God, in holy array.
Yeah.
They say, come on, bring it on. There's light in this world. We need some on holy array, the womb of the dawn. And then it says, your youth are as the dew. You're not just stagnant. You're not just going to get older. There's a youth in you that's going to be born again every morning. You're new creatures in Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
When you get up in the morning, say that. Look in the mirror and say, oh, looks like my dad to me. No, I say, I'm a new creature of Christ. Look at that smile. There you go. Right, Brad?
Yeah.
What are we without that smile? I don't know what we would be, but we are very miserable people indeed. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, it says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. See, this is all about the kingdom. So you put that mustard seed in, you say, ugh, this is hopeless. It's like before the sunlight hits it. And then the sun comes and fills you with the Holy Spirit, and that mustard seed grows to be a large tree.
Yes,
even
Lord.
The birds of the air can roost and build their nest upon it. That's you. That's the kingdom of God. In the midst of tares, weeds, and all kinds of nonsense that's in the world. You are there. God put you there. I would not build a kingdom like this.
Yeah.
I would rather build my kingdom like, you know, some of the monks did in the Middle Ages. Cloister ourselves off, make really nice cathedral, make a really nice tower for that bell to ring in the morning, right? Make everything around me. And we'll never even have minor chords, just have major chords. So everything is right on key, always, never changing it. I can just sense the presence of God and taste, smell, and sight and everything around me. That is not the kingdom God built for you and me. See, when you come into the church, you say, oh, this is such a great place. Look at all the provision I have. Yes, but you're still not of the world, but you're still in the world. I have placed you in the world, but not of the world. You're like aliens, but you're still here.
Yep.
You're weird people, in fact, God says. Set apart.
Yep.
But still in the midst of that.
Yes.
A remnant, maybe, at times. And some other times, it's like everybody seems to be worshiping over. It doesn't really matter. In the kingdom of God, your heart is what really matters.
That's right.
You don't think worship was good today? There's something wrong inside you, not outside you.
Yep.
Because worship comes not from without, but from within.
Yes.
I'm telling you, the worship leaders know that unless you're worshiping, it's going to fall flat on the floor.
Yep.
Doesn't matter how good piano player you are, keyboard player you are, guitar player you are, nothing is going to happen unless worship happens in you.
That's right.
And their desire is for that to happen. It's not their desire to see you see how well they play or how well they sing. And it's the same goes for preaching. It isn't how well we do it, but it's what you're doing in our hearts. Yes,
yes
Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Yes.
Okay, so that's number two. People volunteer freely. It's like a free thing. Number three, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes, that's for sure.
Now, in the Old Testament, he did change his mind a couple times. It says it did. Says, I have grown weary of this people. It's time to wipe them out. And Moses confronted him. Wait a minute. You can't do that. But that will never happen in this kingdom that he built for us. He will never change his mind. It doesn't matter how many weeds you encounter.
Yes.
Come on.
It doesn't matter the circumstances. No matter how many enemies you have, count them. You're always counting the enemies, right? What things are going wrong. An enemy of sickness and disease is among them. It doesn't matter how severe it is. It matters what God has put in you.
Yes, Lord.
It won't change his mind. His mind is made up right from the beginning. You are a priest forever. That's what he's saying to the Lord and his kingdom. According to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a type in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. Without beginning, without end. Eternal. The work that God is doing is not going to somehow stop.
Yes, Lord.
That's right.
Thank you, Father.
Matthew 13, verse 44, Jesus talks about treasure hidden in a field. That's the eternal nature of God. And when you find it, the kingdom of God in you finds that treasure. You're not going to let go of it.
Amen.
You'll sell everything that you have.
That's right.
And you're going to buy that field. So that's the one for me.
That's right.
No other. Nothing else can satisfy. Nothing else can satisfy. You may feel comforted by it on occasion, but it will not bring satisfaction to your soul.
Yes.
I like comfort as much as anyone. Sit in my armchair, sit back. I have a little heating pad there. If I want to turn that on, maybe I don't want on one, but I can put on two, three or four. No, I want it back down to one. You like comfort, right? Get in your car, turn on the air conditioning. It's too hot today. You're a little cold. Let's get it warmer. We want that. But there's something that, in all of those things that will not satisfy. It'll satisfy the flesh, but it can never
satisfy
the soul. And even when you are in extreme discomfort with disease and affliction, you still have the satisfaction of God in your heart, in the kingdom of God. That's what it's saying here.
Yes, Jesus.
You could be on your deathbed dying, breathing your last breath, and you will be satisfied.
Yes, Lord.
That's
right. That's kind of what Brad was saying at his dad's funeral, right? It's like, there's no other satisfaction that we can find except in you, Lord Jesus. I am so happy that it's an eternal thing that God's doing. It's not temporal. Sometimes we look around and say, well, this is going to all end. Everything's for a season, blah, blah, blah. It's so typical of the enemy.
Yeah.
It tries to get us down. Remember, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything you got, body, soul, mind.
Yeah. Amen.
Everything. So, the enemy's first strategy is the same as God's first strategy. God's first strategy is for you to love him, and the enemy's strategy is for you not to love him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God, we are called for that eternal nature of worship that's in us, that's been born in us, that's been awakened in us. We use that word woke a lot now on the internet. But I'm telling you, there's only one place where you can be awake.
Amen.
That's in that kingdom of God.
That's right.
Yeah, come on. It's in the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah.
You going to find it somewhere else?
No way.
Oh, I need a career. I need something to do. And I'm the worst one. I have lists that I make for myself. My wife just doesn't have to make me lists. I make my own. Every once in a while, some of her stuff gets in my list, but... You think I'm kidding? I gotta show you my list. And then I archive it away to my yesterday's list, the day before yesterday, and it's like unbelievable. I look back and I say, this is crazy stuff, because the thing that's in the kingdom of God is eternal. It's not short term.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying anything against doing things and having the mind of Christ and knowing what to do and when to do it.
Right.
And that's probably a very important thing to know in the kingdom of God, right?
Right.
When? The timing of God, prophetic word, prophetic prayer, when you should rise up and when you should lay down. There's a time, season for everything. But the kingdom of God is an eternal thing. Then, the next, I would really like to take this one out of the Bible.
Yeah.
Because this, you see, the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of this world in any way, shape, or form. It is not the Republican Party. It is not the United States of America. It is not what you envision as perfect government. The kingdom of God is his kingship in you. And he'll do some things that right now I'm going to talk about that you may not like. He says, the Lord is at your right hand. That's a place of power, to being the right hand of the Father. You're sitting here, you better believe you have power. See, when he was on the cross, he could have said, what he did say was, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, these silly people.
Yeah.
He could have said, send the cruise missiles now.
Yes.
Wipe this whole people out. He didn't do that. But there will be a day. This is the part I want to take out of the scripture. I really would like to do this. This is just not in my heart, but God's saying, you know what? It should be there. There should be an understanding about this, these scriptures. It says, he will slaughter the kings in the day of his wrath. This is talking about serious judgment, death, killing, slaughter. Yeah. He will judge among the nations. He'll say, this one's good, this one's not so good. If you're not following Christ, not so good. He will fill them with corpses. Now he's really getting macabre. He's like getting in, saying, this is not going to be a pretty sight. Judgment is not pretty.
Right.
No, I'm definitely going to erase this one from the scriptures. Cross it out. I will scatter the chief men over a broad country. Desolation, destruction, judgment, wrath of God. But you see, the kingdom of God isn't always going to be nicey-nicey. It always isn't going to be just a place of the wonderful, gentle nature of Christ. There's another nature of our King that will someday be manifest.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right. Judgment Day.
That's right.
And when Judgment Day comes, those who do not choose the right direction will be as these people. It'll be a terrible day.
Whoa.
The day of the Lord. That's why it says it is. It's a terrible day for a lot of people, for a lot of nations. It's not going to be pretty. There'll be blood all over. You know, I can't even imagine what my father was thinking in 1944 as the bombers were flying over Germany and wiping out Dresden. Even after it was wiped out, they kept bombing it so that there wasn't one stone laying on top of another. And the people that went into their bomb shelters, they didn't have guns, they didn't have Nazis, symbols, nothing. They kept bombing and bombing and bombing. Judgment came down upon them. The people of Dresden to this day have a hard time forgiving the Allies for that because the peace treaty was only weeks away from being signed. I said, why were they doing that? Because, you know, the judgment of Christ is just, but the judgment of men is not so much. We always take it to the furthest degree. Say, we need to wipe them out. Well, let God make his judgment. Let God bring his wrath. That's not for you. See, you are not to bring the wrath of God upon this world. Only God can.
True, true.
So I will get even with this person. No, you won't. God says, don't try to even think that.
That's right, that's right.
And so you call me, he's a fool, he's a jerk, he doesn't deserve anything. And the Lord says, yeah, it may all be true, but you're not to call him a fool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're not to call him a jerk. You're not supposed to call him a creep. Nothing that you can say is going to be good in my eyes, says the Lord. Because this kingdom is my kingdom, not yours.
That's right.
I will decide who will deserve wrath and judgment, who will deserve to be a corpse and not alive, who will deserve to be scattered across the countryside, not you. Well, that's nice. I like that part. Thank you, Lord. I'd rather not be a part of the execution team.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? I think at some churches, they might have some people that get together and pray, and they learn that we're part of the execution team. We had a prophet, a small group that was used to meet, and they prophesied that, if Peter doesn't get it right, you know, God's going to bring his judgment against his own son. Well, what's this?
Woo.
What is that? That's not the kingdom of God.
Oh, it sure isn't.
Even though it was in the church. I said, I don't know, Lord, as I went to prayer about it, I said, should I call the FBI now or later? This is homicidal ideations, you know, in God. And I said, no, I don't think so. So it's my responsibility to pray for our governor. It's my responsibility to pray for the far left extreme. It's my responsibility to pray for the mercy of God to bring, open their eyes. Let them really wake up.
Yes.
Amen.
And how are they going to do that unless we're encouraging them about the love and the tender mercies and kindness of our God?
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, he ends his psalm so wonderfully in the midst of that, just like, here's the wrath of God. And then he says, but he will drink from the brook by the wayside. Now, if you've been on a hike across the field, across the country, you get hot, tired, and come upon a brook, that brook is like the ultimate refreshment that you will ever find. The sound of the water pushing against the rocks, and the rocks cradling back and forth in the stream bed actually can echo all the way down to the substrata. You can feel it in your bones. Whoa, what's that sound? That's the sound of provision. The kingdom of God is provision in a way like you've never felt provision. It isn't just a nice, happy place, but it goes right to your bone. You can feel it in your being.
Yes, Lord.
The provision of God. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's good in every way that's good. It brings creative strength to you. Can you hear that? Water pushing against the stone. And you're gonna sit down by the brook and kneel down, and you're gonna take the water and sip it from your hand. Because you want to have your eye upon the enemy. You're gonna sip it from your hand. And you're gonna say, oh, thank you, God, for your provision. Thank you, God, for your comfort. In the midst of all of the weeds, all the people you don't like, in the midst of every circumstance that's happening, in Israel they just had a stampede, supposedly killed 45 people at a religious ceremony they had. In the midst of that, the Lord can provide. And we pray that He does comfort those that can stop by the wayside, by the brook. And then it says something really more than that. Therefore what? All of the things that we have listed here in the kingdom of God, the bad and the good, therefore, he will lift up his head. See, after all this was happening here, our tendency might be, in the natural, to bow our head to the circumstance, to bow our head for all of the tragedy that's happening around us. Is there a tragedy? Or is it just me?
This is
tragic what's happening to the United States of America. It's tragic what the enemy has willed his purpose upon this earth. India, thousands of people dying per day. Brazil, who knows? This is tragic events make us bow our head. But it says here, the kingdom of God has another purpose for you. Lift up your head. That's a place of real encouragement. Not discouragement, but encouragement. Because the justice of this world is not good, but the justice of God is perfect in everything that He does. Is that right?
It does.
Well, I know that's true, because in Matthew chapter 13, it talks about, verse 47, the kingdom of God is like a dragnet. At the end, it's going to like gather up all the fish into that net, and it's going to throw away the bad and keep the good. And it's going to bring, and then He's going to bring us to that stream of confidence, comfort, of strength beyond our thinking and understanding, right to the core of our being, to our bone. So the outcome of this psalm, the outcome of Matthew chapter 13, where He talks, and by the way, if you look at those verses, Jesus is constantly saying, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like. So you know what the kingdom of God is like. He doesn't want you to be empty-minded about this.
That's right.
Your next step isn't just to follow the Lord blindly, but your next step is to understand.
That's right.
That's what the parable of the sower is talking about. Those who understand can walk too, with such a purpose and nature of God in their life, that there will be no stopping them. People of God, what an awesome people you are. Now let me go back to one more thing that's so intensely wrapped in my psyche these days, is we always think prayer is a good thing, but we always seem to take that thing as a last resort or a middle strategy. It is our first strategy, the strongest strategy, and the beginning, middle, and end. Whatever circumstances we find ourselves in the world, in the nation, in our town, country, state, it doesn't really matter, in your personal life, prayer can move mountains.
Yes.
That hope that God has put into us isn't just a good feeling. I really feel this is God. I don't know how many times we come up prophesying, I feel this is the Lord. Well, you know, there's going to be some prophets who stand before us and says, I don't have to feel this is the Lord. This is the Lord.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Because that hope is not something intangible, ethereal, soft, like a comforting comforter in your bed. That hope has a real substance to it. It says the prayer of faith and hope is the substance of things hoped.
Yes.
It's going to bring forth fruit on this. It's going to bring an outcome to this world that we live in. It isn't going to be stagnant. There will be people who belong to the enemy that God will snatch away from him.
Amen.
Woo. So I'm sorry, but this person doesn't belong to you anymore.
Yes.
She's mine. I love that part in The Chosen.
Yeah.
He said, Mary, and he points right at her, right? He says, I redeemed you. You belong to me.
Yes.
And she was definitely demon-possessed. And everything that she was doing and is and was. And suddenly, she wasn't anymore. Power, real power, not soft, ethereal power that maybe might come true, but one that snatched her from the jaws of the enemy.
Yeah.
How many years ago you may have been walking with the Lord and you thought, wow, how can this be God? Well, it is God, what you're going through today. And that's what we've been praying for Paul and Vera. Lift up your head, lift up your countenance. Let me see you smile, Paul. Come on. There he is. Lift up your countenance, because it isn't you, it is God in your life. Is that good?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Father, we thank you that we can stand before you today. We can pray a prayer that is not just a prayer that's been memorized and or said before, but we can actually pray completely in your will and come against all of the schemes of the enemy. Every single one. They're not new. We could list them, but they're not new schemes. They're all old. It was ancient. But you work of the order of Melchizedek. It's without beginning, without end. And we look through the passages of time beyond where we are now, and we see the church in all of its glory, and the sun rising, Lord, that when you come again, it will not be a day of remorse for us, although you will see judgment upon the earth. We will be glad, because we will know that it's perfect judgment, and not the judgment of men, not the bombers over Dresden or something like that. But it'll be much different than that, Lord God. And we don't even know. Lord, I just repent, and I ask us to repent, church, for thinking we know it all. Somehow we can read the scriptures and know exactly what they all mean and put all the pieces together, and we know. Well, the Lord would say to you, you don't know.
Right.
That there's so much that I have to give to you and for you to receive in your heart, more importantly than your mind, that you would grab hold of and not let go. That it would be that eternal kingdom that I called you to be. That you would be lined up and ready to pray and not shrink back, faint, or falter in the face of the enemy. And he may and will come on strong, even to the point of death. In many cases, that's what he wants for you. But I will snatch you away from him, says the Lord. And because you belong to me.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you very much, Lord.
Amen. I can't hear you, Claudia. We want to hear that. Can we turn?